Yes. Hey, everybody. Yes. 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 Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I am joined by the great Chris Schaefer, a former and failed artist. He was an artist. He likes to paint. No one bought his paintings. He wasn't turning into the next Thomas Kinkade. He doesn't even know who Thomas Kinkade is. He's never been to a mall in the 90s, I guess. But Chris, I am glad you suck at art. I am glad you are here as an AdWords professional because you are great at what you do. And I am blessed and very humbled to have you as my partner on the show. How are you doing?
You know, I never would have thought that people wouldn't buy paintings of dead tigers. You know, I thought I'm going to really just focus on one vertical, you know, and dead tigers. Didn't go over well. So that's why I'm here. And I'm here to talk about what I turn out to be good at, AdWords. Jason.
Yes.
You're always playing me up, but you've got the numbers to show why you are an AdWords professional. You've got a true case study to show before and after. Like I've done before, I did a case study to show a voiceover company before and after optimization. Jason, you took it a different route, and we're talking about a landing page before and after optimization and the results that it gets. So I'm excited because we have someone who is such a practical AdWords manager that can look at something and see beyond the skin deep beauty and see the real value of something that maybe doesn't look as nice, but really has practical value in a landing page. So Jason, are you ready to go?
I'm ready, but Chris, I need you to vouch for me because I come on here, I yell the Y word. Sometimes I look like I'm having a seizure when we start the YouTube channels. I joke around, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, that's all for the show.
It is.
I'm a very serious AdWords manager. I'm making extremely serious claims today, both in terms of having done a landing page myself and a very visually unattractive landing page working. And I'm also making a claim of a 23% conversion rate, where those conversions are both lead forms being filled out and not only phone calls, but phone calls that last longer than 60 seconds. And I'm going to pause now and not talk for 60 seconds just so everyone can see how truly long that is.
Yes.
Just kidding. I had to do that in school once. But 60 seconds, Chris, that's not a joke. Like 60 seconds is a long time. And if someone calls in and they're on the phone for 60 seconds, no. Not every call is going to turn into a moving job. This is about a moving company. But 60 seconds means that there's some kind of value there.
It's a validated lead, absolutely. More so sometimes than a form.
Chris, I'm making a claim of 23% conversion rate. And I know people are out there saying, yeah, but on this campaign, I'm getting a 40% conversion rate. In this campaign, I'm getting 50. And yeah, I get those sometimes too. But Chris, come on now. For lead forms and for phone calls that are 60 seconds on a lead campaign, 23% is pretty good, right?
We're starting off backwards here because we're talking about what the end result was. You know,
but 23%. I just want you to vouch for me.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you've seen the page in question and I've showed you in my account. You've seen the account, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted you to vouch for me.
Yeah.
You got a lot of credibility.
I have the numbers here on my screen. And I can tell you, just to give you some reference on, you know, a 23% conversion rate. When I have a new client contact me and I know nothing about what they're doing, I'll typically quote like 1% to 3% conversion rates.
Okay. And that's a lot of B2B and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a practical conversion rate. You know, don't get your hopes up. Here's what the real world looks like, son. And, you know, 3% conversion rate. Hey, that's great.
And you and I, you know, after we optimize a B2C campaign for months and months, we can get to 10, 15%. And that's generally pretty good in the lead gen world.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm claiming 23% and I'm already defensive, Chris, but thank you for vouching for me. With that disclaimer put out there and your credibility vouching for me, I appreciate it because I am proud of these results and it is a real client here that I'm doing a good job for.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the problem. Today we're talking about the after the click in AdWords, okay? Typically we talk about before the click. We talk about, you know, how to choose the right keywords and pick the right negative keywords in your bids and all of that. But today we're talking about after the click, when everything goes out of the hands of your AdWords dashboard and you just have to hope that the person likes what they see and then converts, calls the phone number or fills out the form.
Right.
So the problem that we have is that people don't like what they see. And describe, Jason, what you had before you got your hands on this client's landing page.
Okay, so this client is a local moving company. It's a moving company in a Midwest city. It's not a huge city, but it's a major city. They're running a major AdWords campaign. They spend about $4,000 to $5,000 a month, and they're a real moving company. They're serious about their business. They work with me as their AdWords person, but they also work with another branding, design, advertising agency, local advertising agency company. You want someone to get you in on the radio ads. You want someone to get you in on TV ads. You need a website. This company does it all. And they went to them with their landing page needs. And this company, who does great big websites for brands and develops brands and logos and all that, they don't do AdWords. And what they came back to us with, Chris, and again, they paid multiple thousands of dollars for this, is a landing page that had huge fancy images of moving companies. And you could tell they bought them from those image websites, paid a lot of money for them. The images blew up to the whole screen. It was one of those kind of websites. And I was like, okay, they paid a lot of money for this. I guess we have to try it. We ran through 100 clicks. We ran through $15 a click, spent about $1,500. We got a couple phone calls, but they weren't 60 seconds. And Chris, we didn't get anything else. And I'm not exaggerating here. We got nothing for $1,500. And when a moving company lead needs to cost anywhere between 30 and 70, sometimes 100 in some cases, depending on what kind of moves it is, you can't go $1,500 and get nothing. And the lead form did not catch the eye. There was zero about the local area. There was nothing to put someone at ease that they had found a local mover. There wasn't a picture of the company, of the movers themselves, of the trucks, just this generic artsy stock photo that was a good looking photo, but it wasn't this company. No local identifiers. The lead form was white, just slapped on the page as almost an afterthought, and there were no good calls to actions. And so that was my specific problem in this case, Chris. The landing page sucked. And even though it looked pretty in some cases, it did not get the job done for AdWords. And you have probably run into this 100 times. Landing pages matter. That you can't just run a good AdWords campaign and expect to get good results if the landing page is not good. So those problems that I brought up, Chris, no local identifiers, no pictures of real people, of real moving trucks, generic images, big artsy images. Is that stuff you deal with working with clients?
You know, I often find the art, pretty stock image, fancy style pages that you scroll and you get things kind of moving all over the page. I find those with high-end agencies that charge a lot and focus on beauty and style over functionality. And absolutely, I find that it happens the most in more complex fields. You know, for a IT service company that services businesses with their specialized cloud services, they have something that just looks, it looks heavenly. You know, you move and clouds kind of flow across and it says, here are magical services. Give us a call if you want to. You know, I mean, it's just kind of like, what are you, what are you trying to do?
I mean, and by the way, small phone numbers. I ran into that on this issue, and I know you run into that all the time on pages just like that. You have all the clouds. Where the heck is the phone number?
Yeah. So to contrast, what we'll get to here in a little bit is, Jason, the focus here is that it was pretty, but not functional.
Right.
The beauty was there. It's very impressive as a landing page. You know, you obviously paid a lot for this.
They did. I would never be so stupid.
Right, not you. The company that you're viewing, you, the Google searcher, sees a page. Obviously, this is expensive. You know, they're very professional, maybe a very big company.
Right.
Which I want to come to later, the difference between showing yourself as a big company and a small company and how that might look in this case study. And in the end, what we'll get to is the difference in what you found. So that's the problem. Okay, so we move on to Jason. What did you do in order to solve a company that was spending, you said $1,500?
$1,500 bucks. We went through 100 clicks, yeah.
So where'd you take it from there?
Well, at this point, I'm mad, Chris, because now you're affecting my wallet. And you know, if I care about anything, Chris, after knowing me for a couple of years, it's my money.
It's your money,
like,
yeah.
You're
going to lose a client because this fancy agency built in a beautiful page that generates crap.
Right, and I'm doing my job as AdWords manager. I've put in way more time than I should have at this point for how much I've been paid because we've been going, hey, things haven't been working, and they're not calling the landing page designer. They're calling me. And so I'm on the phone. I'm digging through the data. I'm racking my brain. What did I do wrong? And of course, I didn't do anything wrong. But you still go over your track. So I'm mad. We're $1,500 in the hole. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, we got to do something with the landing page. Do I go back to them and say, hey, get them to make these changes to the page? And then they're going to invoice the client for more money. Yeah. And they're not going to do it right. And it's not going to work out again. Or do I go, you know what? Screw it. I'm taking matters into my own hands. I'm not a landing page person. I'm not a web designer. I'm an AdWords manager. But there are tools out there, Unbounce, Lead Pages, Instapage. We link to all of them because we think they're just fine for the AdWords manager needs. All three are good solutions. We link to them on the resources page on our website. But in this case, and in most cases, my go-to one is Instapage. That's the one I'm familiar with. That's the one I'm proud to recommend to people. And we're going to have a link in the show notes. It is an affiliate link, but again, we're upfront about that and I'm proud to recommend them. So I go to Instapage. I set it up myself, Chris. I'm not a design person. I'm horrible at design. I don't have web design skills, but with a tool like Instapage, you can take matters into your own hands and you can create a landing page with drag and drop software. Now, that doesn't solve the whole problem here, Chris, because you can say, well, you can drag and drop, but number one, what should the landing page look like? Number two, how do you get content for the landing page? And this is really the advice I want to get out there to people, Chris. Number one, how did I know what the landing page needed to look like? I went to Google. I went to the preview tool. I did searches. Now, number one, Chris, I did not click on other people's ads. That's a sin as an AdWords manager. I did not waste people's money. But if you right click and you go to copy link and then you put that link in a URL and you get rid of all the AdWords data in the link, I'm 99% sure, of course, that's not going to charge them anything because you're just going to a domain. And again, you get rid of all the query AdWords stuff that's in the link and you just go to the domain. And I looked at what other people were doing with their landing pages, Chris. Movers in this city, movers in big cities. And I kind of got a feel for like, oh, that looks good as a moving company landing page. My eye is drawn to this lead form. My eye is drawn to that phone number. If I did a search for a moving company in Los Angeles and I went to this page, I would feel like I'm looking at a moving company in Los Angeles that's ready to give me a moving quote. I looked at what other people were doing, Chris, and then I made that on a page, that kind of format. Is that a sin? Should I be put in jail? Is that against the rules? Can I look at what other people are doing?
Oh, no, it's absolutely, if you're bidding against people and you're looking at their ads and AdWords, why wouldn't you look at what they're delivering people to on their landing page? Absolutely.
And by the way, I promise you, I did not click their ads because I hate when people do that and I'm not going to cost them money. I did copy link and then I got rid of the AdWords stuff.
Yeah.
Not everybody listening to this is a good person. There's a lot of unethical people listening because they're lazy. They're going to take the easy road. They're going to click on that
None
ad.
None of our listeners. Surely. No, I'm sure not.
You know, there's a few in a few select cities, and we're not going to get into that, but definitely no one in Oklahoma, definitely no one in the great state of Texas.
That's true.
But Chris, the point is, I didn't just go into it blind like the agency did, thinking to myself, what looks good?
What looks good? There you go.
Yeah, I looked at what other people were doing, and I got format ideas from them. Now, the second problem, how, as a non-web developer, non-design person, do I get the content, Chris? Mm-hmm. Where do I get that from?
And you're not a copywriter.
I'm not a copywriter.
You're not even in the business. You're separated from this company, and you're somehow tasked here in order to write content for a company you're not in and for an industry you don't work in. So, I mean, absolutely, this is a problem. I think the solution you have here is really simple.
And Chris, it's a solution that's staring everyone in the face, but I never hear anyone talk about it. And my solution is to look at your client's website, right-click Save Image As on their logo, right-click Save Image As on their big picture of their truck, copy-paste on their content, and you can get their copywriting and put it on your Instapage landing page. You can get their logo, save it to your computer, put it into Instapage. You can get their picture. You can embed their YouTube video, put it in your landing page. And Chris, just like that, I've got format down because I've looked at what other people are doing, and I've got content down because I just grabbed it off my own client's site.
Now,
simple enough.
Jason, what about that About Us page that has four paragraphs about how their grandfather started the business back in 1927? Do you grab stuff like that? What are you interested in on a landing page as far as content? What do you grab and what do you not
grab? Well, Chris,
grab?
This is a shiny golden nugget what I'm about to give you.
Shiny.
Because I know what you're trying to goat me into saying that, oh, About Us doesn't matter. You got to get to the point. You got to say you're a moving company in Cincinnati, right? That's what you're goading me for.
Yeah.
I'm about to give a nugget. But first, yes, Chris, generally for a landing page, you don't need the stuff that's buried in their website. If it's a office moving landing page, you need the content from the office moving service page. If it's a long distance, you need the stuff about the long distance, and you can grab it off those service pages. Generally, you just need to get straight to the point. You don't need the whole story. But Chris, sometimes, and in some industries, people do want all that info. And so this is a nugget here, Chris, and you're going to say, wow, that's a great idea. I'm glad I'm a podcast partner with you.
I love how you're prepping my reaction to what you're about to say.
You can create, I call them not landing pages, I call them landing websites. In Instapage, you can recreate what a client's doing with their website, clean it up, make the phone number bigger, make the lead form simpler, and you can put that into Instapage. And then you can create a menu at the top of your Instapage landing page that says home, that says services, that says about us, that says contact. When people click those, they go to another page in Instapage. That is modeled after the about page, but it has a big lead form, but it has a big phone number. And what you can do, Chris, is if you need that data, you can recreate it in Instapage with a landing website. Is that not a nugget that no one talks about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because what I refer to it as is a microsite. You know, it's essentially right. Kind of, it hits all the high points of a website, but it's not really a website. And you were able to build it in like an hour's time.
And make things your way. Bigger phone numbers, simpler lead form.
Skip the translation from what you're saying and trying to convey it to a web developer, and you just build it yourself. I'll have a comment to make about Instapage and stuff like that a little bit later in the podcast, but this is really surprising. Let's talk a little bit about the page itself, because before we were contrasting beauty, we were talking about how pretty it is. Jason, what's on this page? And I'm going to put a challenge out to you. Because, Jason, you've sent me a link to the page, and right. I'd love to see this screenshot on our Facebook page or our Twitter page with the stuff blurred out so people can really see that, not in an offensive way, but in a practical way, this page is ugly. This page
is garbage.
Not look good, but we'll go back to what you talked about. This is a 23% conversion page. Give me an ugly page that converts over 20% any day. I'll take that over anything compared to a site that is pretty and doesn't give me any leads.
Okay, so what I did, Chris, is again, I found a competitor whose page I liked. No one could tell that it was the same format or anything, and it is a little bit different, but I copied their general structure here. Top bar here, Chris, we got a big fat logo, we got a big phone number, and the phone number is a different color so it catches your eye, and we have a big call to action that says, you know, call in for a moving quote or tell us about your move, and we test out different copy there, but we have a call to action and the phone number is big. Below that, we have on one side of the page a simple lead form, Chris, not a lead form that asks for the square footage, whether you have squares or not, what the exact day you want to move is. It's just a simple form that people will actually be motivated to fill out because they're not going to get discouraged. And by the way, Chris, no one fills out a 20-question lead form on their phone. They're just not going to do it where they have to type a bunch. So we keep it simple so we can get those phone form leads. We have a big call to action with the simple lead form. That's on one side of the middle. On the other side of the middle, we have a video, but you know, Chris, it could just as easily be a picture. It's a real moving truck. It's a real company, and it shows that they're an actual moving company. And above that, we have a geo modifier. We have something about the city where we're telling people that we're actually based in the city. We're a local moving company. Then we have nice, simple bullet points, Chris. They don't have to read a paragraph. It's just bullet points straight to the point where we talk about that we're fully licensed and insured. We offer a free moving quote. We tell you that we're in this city. We tell you that we're fast and professional. We have a phone number again, Chris, to motivate people to pick up the phone or click the call. We have a logo from the Better Business Bureau to give social proof that we're above board and we have a good reputation. And then we have big, bold pieces of content, Chris, that tell people where we do our moving services, what kind of mover we are. Then we have another phone number, Chris, because it's all about the phone. We want people to call in. And not only do we have a call to action, but we tell people what time of days to call us. And if it's outside of those times, they can fill out the lead form. Then we have testimonials, a little more content, another picture of one of our trucks, another encouragement to call in, and that's all you need, Chris. That is all you need. And again, let's talk about this page. It's a white background. It's one little gray box. It's black for the most part, or dark blue text. And it is dog garbage, Chris.
There's not even a, I mean, if you were to pick a color palette on this, it would be yellow, gray, and white is essentially the color palette on this website. I mean, there is no color palette. But here's the contrast that I want to make here, because before, Jason, we had someone who was spending thousands of dollars on a beautiful, highly technical page that tried to convey that the company was a large company. You know,
right.
This company is very fancy. They have everything together in very much a way that someone might be intimidated, might think that, oh, this is probably, I don't know if they even handle, you know.
They're going to charge $1 million.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll handle small local moves. They probably don't want me because this is like a big government type of thing. You know, who knows what they're going to be moving, but probably not me.
Right.
Versus what we have here, something that's not focused on beauty, but it's just very practical. And I think the difference is it's relatable. This page is relatable. It tells me the things I want to know, when they're open, what their phone number is, that they work in my area, that they have a truck. You know, this is looks like, you know, just a working man's truck that you're going to put stuff in and move my house in. You know, it's very right. practical.
Chris, if you lived in Cincinnati and you need to move houses and you were doing your research, you weren't ready to pick a mover that instant, but you're doing your research, you're getting a handful of companies to look for. If you search Cincinnati Movers, and then this page was set up for Cincinnati, and you saw the page, would you or would you not think, okay, this is an option, this is a local Cincinnati moving company?
Absolutely. I would absolutely want to call this company. I'd have them on my list of people to call, because here's what I think when I see this page. I think, here's a company that's going to have a fair price. You know,
okay.
We do this. This is what we do. We're a moving company, not some large company that's going to have to jack their prices up because they need to pay for this super fancy website that they had built, or the right. advertising on TV that they do. They spend millions of dollars of advertising on TV in order for their ad to show up. They're going to have to pay for that. You know, so this seems very practical, approachable. You know, I go back to thinking about when I was in college. And the most beautiful women in college, Jason, you know who I talked to?
I didn't know them. I'll tell you that.
I didn't. You're right. I didn't know them either, because I saw them and I'd seen them. I was, wow, she's really pretty. She's got a lot of friends. She's untouchable. Like, I can't even talk to her. You know who I went to talk? I went to talk to the ones that looked practical. The girls that have, like, you know, something that I can relate to.
Chris, I see your
pie
point.
Pie in the sky.
I just want to throw out the yellow light here. It's about to get weird. We all get the point, and you can...
I just, you know, I was insecure. Let's talk about my insecurity.
You're not insecure anymore. You do CrossFit. I call you hot AF every week on the show. You get comments on YouTube.
That's true.
Spike it up a little
I
more.
I don't want to
Chris
go there.
Chris is so good looking.
You're right. I don't want to go there.
So, Chris, yes, and you make a good point. Like, yeah, if we were selling encryption software and we were charging people $50,000 a month and we need to come off as premium, premier, yeah, this wouldn't be the page for that. But when you want to look like an accessible moving company, this gets the job done. And one final functional point I want to talk about here, Chris, is, yeah, on website, I'll take your criticism and I'll admit it. The site looks like garbage. The page looks like garbage. It looks horrible, but it gets the job done.
Yeah.
But on mobile, when things are shrunken in and there's not as much white space because everything's tight on mobile, number one, it looks just fine above the fold on mobile. Number two, at the top of the fold, not above the fold, but at the top of the fold, we have a phone number with a call to action. So you put yourself in the person looking for a mover. They do a search. They click the ad. It's on their phone. They look at their phone. Big thing. Tell us about your move. Call now for a quote. And it's right there. All they have to do is click. Yeah. They see the logo. They see the lead form. It's all there. And it looks fine on mobile too.
Yeah. So, Jason, a couple things that are practical about this page that I'll hit on before we close this out. One thing I noticed that you mentioned on the page, the phone number is not buried in a graphical image. The phone number is a highlightable, clickable phone number.
And trackable.
Trackable, right? So you can change the phone number out automatically because it's not buried in an image. I think that's great. I think the bullet point approach to a list of services is great, as opposed to buried in four paragraphs describing how special, you know, their services are over everybody else. Basically just list them out in bullet point format, because nobody reads paragraphs, especially on a phone. You know, right. Mobile's going to be really important.
Well, you just look at the stats. Last time I looked at it, it was like 62% of Americans can even read. So if only 62% of people can read, how many people can read a paragraph? When they're in the monkey search mode, I got to find it. I got to go to Google. I got to find it. Bullet points, baby. Bullet points.
Yeah, literally at a stoplight, like, oh, shoot, I need to find movers before we move next week.
I got rear-ended. Now I need a lawyer. Yeah, like, I mean, Google's there for you.
First of all, the people that can't read aren't going to read it. The second, the people that can read probably don't have the time. I think that's an excellent point.
Yeah, maybe I'm a little off, but it was either 62% or 63%.
Yeah. One last thing I want to say, and we didn't even talk about this, but I just, you know, one of my pet peeves is I see clients that have a page they built. The page title is just the company name, ABC Mover or whatever. Right. On yours, it's Residential and Commercial Moving Services. People don't realize it, but when you build a page and you get everything the way that you want it to be, it needs to be optimized so that Google can read all of that. But Google pays a lot of attention to that page title. And page title is really important. Make sure you optimize your page title, because that's going to tell Google what the
Chris.
Whole...
You're really doing your homework on me here.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, you did that. And it even has a geographic location term in
the page. Yeah, and here's the point, Chris. I did it.
There you go.
I did it in a minute, okay? I didn't have to send an email to the agency. And then they had to put it as a workflow in their little ticket system and then charge the client $700 million. And it takes a month to get done. I did it. And Chris, the results here, 23% conversion rate.
Yep.
And here's the thing, Chris, because we're an Instapage, I can A/B test every month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in control. And so, yeah, it doesn't look pretty, but at the end of the day, it's getting the results and I'm in control. And you know what? If I took a swing and the first thing I made in Instapage didn't work and I got like a 1% conversion rate, I can mix things up and try to figure it out. But I'm in control.
Let me ask one thing, because I feel like if someone's watched this far, I wish we would have said this at the top. But Jason, for full disclosure, how much money did you make last month or this whole year from Instapage referrals? What I'm getting at, is this video secretly just trying to sell Instapage?
Oh, no. Like, I'll screenshot my Instapage referral thing. We haven't made anything from
yeah.
that. Yeah. Like,
because you mentioned it at the top.
Trust me. Like, I'll be upfront. I'm trying. Like, I want people to sign up. But no, we don't make any money from that.
Instapage does not sponsor this podcast. Yeah. We make nothing off of it.
No, but they don't, Chris. But here's the reason people like this podcast. Because you and I are in AdWords accounts 40 hours a week. This is all we do. You play a lot of video games as well
the
weekends.
All right. You're meddling now.
I'm meddling, but if I'm talking about a career, what you're great at, like, you play video games and you do AdWords account. Like, your passion for video games, and you can't deny it, you used to have this big video game console
I
in the background.
To, like, its own room,
yeah,
actually.
It has its own room. So, yeah, no, Chris, I'm kidding. We're in there 40 hours a week, and the whole point of the show is we try to figure out what works in AdWords and related topics, and then we come on here and tell you the truth. The only reason I'm saying Instapage over and over is because that works. I can bet my life, Chris, that if someone is good at Unbounce and they've been in Unbounce or Lead Pages, just replace the word Instapage in this video with Unbounce or Lead Pages.
Yeah, sure.
Those
there's
three
plenty
companies,
of other solutions. It's a good point.
To me, there's three, Chris. There's three main ones. And yes, if those are the ones you're comfortable with and work out of or want to try, go with those ones equally, okay?
Yeah.
Equally.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, we're not married to Instapage. It's not that we're getting any kind of...
That's just what I happen to use.
Yeah. And one last thing before we end. Jason, I think this is great stuff. I love it. We don't talk about landing pages very much, and it's 50% of the conversion process, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you get the click, but you have to make sure that they convert at the end, and you have to deliver the right message in the right way.
Right.
So one last thing I'll share. If all we've talked about doesn't do it for you, I'll say, just from personal experience, I recently rebuilt my website myself. I know nothing about web development. And I took it from a customized WordPress site that I paid developers quite a bit of money for. And I rebuilt it at Instapage and just kind of copied it all over and moved it around. Took me about a week to do it off and on. But I found an amazing result going from a page that had a lot of fluff to it to just being really straightforward based on just a quick pitch and
what someone would
call
want
to
know.
Action. Yeah, the stuff they want to know, even down to the point of putting prices on my website. just right. talked to someone today that was kind of surprised, like, oh. So it's something that I personally found works really well for me when I took it to the approach of not going with beauty, but just going with practical, functional approach. Right. It just works well. So I think this is great stuff. I think it's solid advice. I think, you know, you have the numbers, and I encourage everyone to go to our Facebook page and check out what Jason, I'm going to push you towards sharing the image, black out whatever you want. I want to show the people what Jason's winning ugly stepsister page looks like that converts for him.
Right on. Well, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I won't.
Maybe you won't.
We'll see what happens. But you know what definitely is going to happen is we're going to be here every Monday doing the Paid Search Podcast. We're almost 100 episodes in. This relationship has its ups and its ups. We don't have a lot of downs. We're flowing.
That's what happens when you only talk once a week is, you know, it's just high points.
I'm going to try that with my girlfriend. But you know why I'm not, Chris? You know why I'm not? Because she might just agree to it. And the thought of that scares me.
Be sad.
So everybody, thanks for listening. Please review us on iTunes. Please click like on YouTube. Please share the show with your friends.
That's all we ask.
Colleagues. That's all we ask.
You don't even have to buy a subscription to Instapage.
No.
Just leave us a review and let us know we're doing a good job because we're super insecure. You are that beautiful college girl that I couldn't talk to. Let me know that you want to talk to me. All right. Thanks for watching.
I'm not touching this. I'm going to let you in on that. You're going to take this ball and run with it, bro. I mean, you are getting out there.
I know.
Saucy.
Anyway. All right. Thanks for watching. We'll be back. You know where to find us. See you next week.